Brethren of the true Church of God, are you aware of the dangerous times you are living in? Do you realize you are standing on the threshold of the days of vengeance? Jesus Christ says God's church is in danger of experiencing great tribulation. Does this concern you? It should, because you are sound asleep.
We don't realize, my brethren, the way we've been drifting. We've been getting lukewarm because God's church is in fatal danger. And I can't say that loud enough to hammer it home to you.
Greetings. This is your host, Mark Little. 2020 is a year which has proven once again how fast life can change. The China virus continues to wreak havoc on nations around the world. This has caused fear and unrest to grip people at all levels of society. Lawless agitators are trying to capitalize on these fears by stoking anger, hatred, and violence to bring about disastrous social change. While corrupt politicians and corporations are using the situation to increase their power and limit individual liberty. Never let a crisis go to waste. And then there is the impact these events are having on God's church, which is exposing the lack of faith needed to please God and hold fast to His truth during this final era of Laodicea. This should come as no surprise because Jesus Christ prophesied in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, that right before His second coming, the vast majority of God's people would be in a wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked spiritual condition. God's church is not ready for the unprecedented events soon to engulf this world. It is sound asleep. Today, God's people are a divided mess. Various organizations claim to be carrying out the responsibility of taking the gospel to the world, yet cannot join together in doing it. God's church continues to splinter and separate while the Word of God continues to get watered down. This undermines people's faith in God's truth. This lack of faith was recently demonstrated during the 2020 Feast of Tabernacles, when some of God's people chose to wear face masks and not sing praises to God as commanded for fear of being exposed or exposing others to the China virus. In Psalm chapter 81, verses 1 through 4, God commands His people to sing out during His feasts. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp and the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. Verse 3 specifically references the Feast of Trumpets, which occurs on the first day of the seventh month of God's sacred calendar. This instruction also encompasses the first day of unleavened bread and the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, both of which occur on a full moon in the spring and fall of each year. Verse 4 leaves no doubt that singing is a commanded part of keeping God's feast. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. Could Psalm 81 be any clearer? Singing to God on His feast is a command. Psalm chapter 100, verses 1 and 2 states, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." God's people are the true church of God, and when they assemble in His presence, they do so on His feasts. When one comes into the presence of God, songs of praise are to be sung to Him. In this decision, the ministry has once again allowed human reasoning to supersede the instruction of God's Word. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 is a promise of protection from disease to those who obey God. And Moses said to the children of Israel, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Eternal your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, God says, I will put none of the diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Eternal who heals you. Obedience to God's commands are the only sure protection God's people have from disease. Moses reiterates this promise in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 12 and 15. Then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Eternal your God will keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. And the Eternal will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. During the 2020 Feast of Tabernacles, God's people were muzzled from singing praises to God and forced to comply with directives of human government. These men have forgotten the words of the early apostles in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, who said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." By not singing during the 2020 Feast of Tabernacles, the ministry has once again led the brethren to disobey God. This is no different than what was done following the death of God's apostle, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, when ministers taught God's people to observe the traditions of men over the law of God. A good example of this recent failure can be found in the words of Mr. Dexter Wakefield, a minister in the Living Church of God, who concluded Psalm 81 does not command singing at God's feasts. From his article titled, "Does Psalm 81 contain a commandment for singing?" Mr. Wakefield wrote, quote, "The church leadership has the responsibility, authority, and obligation to institute changes in the order of worship as needed, including temporarily foregoing singing aloud as an entire congregation for the physical safety of its members during a pandemic." Through King David, the practices of 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 16, were instituted by God to be performed by the Levitical priests in the tabernacle. But they are not binding commandments for the church today, the transgression of which would be sin. Those who claim that Asaph's exhortation to the Levites in Psalm chapter 81, verses 1 and 2, constitutes divine law, the transgression of which is sin, are in error. This human reasoning is remarkably similar to that of Mr. Joseph W. Tkach Sr., who tried explaining away God's commandments, holy days, dietary laws, and tithing practices by saying they were part of the old covenant. God's word needs no interpretation from men. It says what it means, and it means what it says. The command to sing aloud on God's feast in Psalm chapter 81 makes no exception for a pandemic. Why don't these ministers take God at his word and teach people what God commands? The answer is because they do not believe what God says. Instead of obeying human directives that violate God's law, these ministers should have developed plans that would have allowed obedience to God first, where praises to him could be sung, while still protecting those most vulnerable to the China virus. Failing to sing at God's feast is only the most recent departure from the faith once delivered. God's church has been drifting from the faith since the death of Mr. Armstrong in 1986. One of the biggest failures is not recognizing the fulfillment of Christ's prophecy in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached or proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." The leadership of various COG organizations all claim to be carrying out the continuation of Christ's prophecy, yet are unable to join together as one in getting it done. Prior to the Feast of Tabernacles, another COG group formed, intent on taking the gospel to the world in a more powerful way than the group from which it separated. The ministers of this new organization once again failed to understand how Mr. Armstrong said that the gospel had not gone to the world for 1900 years before God gave him the responsibility of fulfilling Christ's prophecy. From his booklet, "Are We in the Last Days?" Mr. Armstrong is clear about who Christ used in taking the gospel to the world. But in January 1934, Jesus Christ began proclaiming through me, for the first time in 1900 years, the true gospel of the kingdom of God. Notice, Mr. Armstrong specifically points to Christ using him, not the church, for this responsibility. He continues, it spread coast to coast across the United States and Canada. 19 years later, January 1953, that gospel went out on the world's most powerful radio station, Radio Luxembourg, to all Europe and Britain, and almost immediately after that on other radio stations in Taiwan, Radio Ceylon, Radio Monte Carlo, stations in South America and elsewhere. Soon it was going to Australia, New Zealand, and many other parts of the world. A good question to ask is, how long must this witness be made? Over 30 years after his death, no COG organization comes close to doing what God did through Mr. Armstrong. Combined, their efforts are paltry. Mr. Armstrong went on to confirm that during his lifetime, Christ's gospel was taken to the world as a witness. And now, at last, this was written in 1985, we can say that gospel has gone into every nation on earth. Why don't these ministers believe Mr. Armstrong? Because they do not believe God used him and him alone to take the gospel to the world as a witness. They do not understand this phase of God's plan is over. They also fail to see how they have divided and dispersed God's church. These men use and abuse God's people by promoting a work that God has not given them the responsibility to carry out. They cloak their covetous actions and exploitation of God's people in deceptive words by saying the church has been given the responsibility of taking the gospel to the world. Mr. Armstrong stated that when he died, no one would replace him. He was right. No one has, and no one will. Brethren, it is not the responsibility of the church to take the gospel to the world. That was given to Mr. Armstrong. But it is the responsibility of the ministry to teach those God has called out of this world as instructed by Christ in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 was not a message for converting people. It was merely a sign that Christ's second coming was near. If the ministry were fulfilling their responsibility of teaching God's people, then Christ would not view this final era of Laodicea as spiritually lukewarm. Christ would not describe God's church as wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked if people were being properly taught. No, many in God's church are in danger of going into the days of vengeance and will experience great tribulation because of the ministry's failure in teaching. Christ warns in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, that this final era will go into the fire of great tribulation as punishment for their lukewarm behavior. I counsel you to buy of me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. This will happen because ministry and brethren of God's church have failed to take God at his word. They have failed in following the instruction of singing praises to God at his feasts, and they have also failed to recognize the fulfillment of Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. Now God's church, along with the world, stands on the threshold of God's punishment for disobedience. It does not matter whether it is one of the Ten Commandments or a command to sing on God's feast. The breaking of God's law in any form is sin. Members of the true Church of God, you are asleep and you need to wake up. This message is your warning call. Wake up before it is too late. If you need help, please visit the M24S website. The address is Matthew24signs.org. This is your host, Mark Little, saying to the Church of God, become zealous and repent.